sports, politics, life. Amazing Garage Floors presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at AmazingGarageFloors.net.
Okay, so the Bidens are caught. They are caught red-handed, and everybody that is a fair or honest person that's paying any attention at all knows this. So the question is, what's next? Where do we go from here? Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, is doing interviews right and left, telling people that it's approaching an impeachable offense for Joe Biden to be so connected tightly to his son and business dealings that clearly, for anyone paying attention, were selling favors of Joe Biden through Hunter Biden and shell companies to enrich themselves by companies and entities in other countries. So we can see what this is. It's completely a grift. It's a total fraud. It's a total sham. I'm not even going to try to overstate the thing and say that I think America was in danger or some sort of national security, this or that. But it was clearly changing foreign policy. It was clearly altering United States' stances towards certain entities or countries, most specifically Ukraine. But the latest now is 16 payments made from Romanian companies to shell companies of the Bidens after we've learned that there were now phone calls, WhatsApp texts, all kinds of different communications where Hunter Biden makes it very clear that if they don't do what they say they were going to do or make the payments necessary or previously agreed upon payments, that his dad is going to get involved and it's not going to be pretty. And we will all know what that's all about. So the most telling sign, and I every now and then on one of these podcasts, I'll say, look, this is my area of expertise. After nearly 40 years of experience in this business, there's just a few things that you pick up on and they're absolute dead tells. Like a poker player I don't play poker because I don't know what I'm doing. I can't bluff. I have no clue. But people that are really good at it can see it in the other players. There's a tell. They can read it. They can see it. So mine is pretty simple. This is the easiest thing ever. When the words change, okay, when they make a change midstream, mid-game, this is a halftime adjustment. When they make a halftime adjustment, they are caught and they know it. And I believe the media on the left are now picking up on this, and we're starting to see some reporting from CNN and some other outlets that the Bidens have trouble on their hand. I think they're all boxed in. I think especially the media at this point, they know, look, we can't do the free pass on this anymore. We can't do this. We're boxed in. We can ignore it. We can report on it very little. We cannot pay much attention to it until we have to, and it explodes. But they know they can't report lies at this point. They have to tell the truth. So this changed in a big way over the past several days. Joe Biden has basically gone from saying, no, I've never had a conversation with my son. No, I'm not this or that with my son. No, I've never even talked to him. I mean, one of his quotes is, I've never even spoken to him about his business dealings. Now that's, you knew when you heard that several years ago that that was just a bald-faced lie. You knew that. Any father and son that are not estranged, and they're not, this father has stood by his son through his embarrassingly awful life and chalked it up to, well, drug addiction's a nasty thing. Yeah, well, getting help for drug addiction can be a good thing, and it doesn't seem like they've really tried. Hunter Biden this weekend was in Los Angeles with his high-powered L.A. attorney that's representing him, who was basically smoking weed, pulling bongs out on his balcony for the paparazzi to see. They're flaunting it. Hunter's out there hanging out with his lawyer, apparently doing drugs, smoking dope, whatever it is that they're doing. It just doesn't end. This is an embarrassing family. Joe Biden doesn't recognize one of his grandchildren in, I think, Mississippi that Hunter fathered on the stories. This is all just so embarrassing. I think the media now know they're boxed in. There's nothing they can do to lie or cover for this family at this point. So it's not checkmate, but they're boxed in. That part's done. So now what's left? You have KJP and the White House changing their story. That's gone from, I've never even had a conversation with Hunter about his businesses, which we all know is a lie. We have kids. We all talk to our kids about their businesses or their careers or whatever. It just was a complete and utter lie that the only people that could ever get away with that would be Democrats because the media will just accept that. If Trump ever said, I've never once spoken to my son about business, nobody would believe that. And they'd attack him relentlessly. If Trump said the things that Biden and his minions have said, he would just be slaughtered relentlessly. Nobody would believe him. You know, Trump's the actual truth teller out there. It's the truth. And the Bidens run around and say all these ridiculous things that nobody can believe, and we chalk it up, well, he's a crazy old man, so we'll just let him go ahead and lie. We just accept it on the left. You can just go ahead and lie to us. That's fine. But now they've changed it to, I wasn't there for the phone call. I wasn't part of this or that. I wasn't doing that. Now the official statement is the president has never been in business with his son. Boom. Mic drop. That changes everything. They are caught red-handed. They know they are caught red-handed. The only reason they're even changing or pivoting or doing what they're doing now is they don't care about conservative media. They don't care about MAGA voters. They don't care about Fox News or the New York Post or the Washington Examiner or some of these people that are doing these stories, the Daily Caller. They don't care about that. They don't care about that. What they're worried about is what happens from the left. We have to give them some cover. We have to help the New York Times. We have to do whatever. So they pivot now and say he was never in business with his son. Well, technically, that one's probably true. I don't think there were any charters or letters or documents of incorporation for any of these companies that Hunter Biden was putting together that listed his dad as a shareholder or a partner. I believe that's true. But we do have emails where they say, oh, yeah, and 10% for the big guy. So clearly, the big guy, Joe Biden, was getting 10% of all of this. We're talking millions and millions of dollars here. And now there's 16 payments to shell companies through Romania that are new, that have been discovered. Republicans are doing a good job of finding new information on this as they're subpoenaing people. There's going to be big testimony on Monday coming up. It will not be televised, but this one's going to be pretty big. This is like Hunter Biden's business associate, and he's going to tell all. He's just going to be like, here's how it worked, here's who did what, and here it is. So the Bidens have about a week to get ready for that and try to figure out what they're going to do, and they've completely changed their story and said, well, he's never been in business with his son. So let's not even get into the weeds and the details of all this. The specifics of it don't matter at this point. The question, as we started with, is what's next? And Kevin McCarthy is making it sound like he wants to impeach Joe Biden. I personally am not there. I still don't think that's a very good idea. I think it's a terrible exercise for the country. I think it shows tremendous weakness globally. I don't like to use the term world stage. I use it sometimes, but I don't like it. I think it's a terrible thing to basically show the world and let the world see that we're this petty and we're doing these things. Only in a recent poll, when people were asked about the most important issues in the 24 election, corruption or people in power, you know, stealing and things like that, only 7% of respondents said that's an issue. Americans largely expect people like Joe Biden to cheat us. It's a terrible and sad thing, but we do. I won't go so far as to say that we accept it, but we recognize that it's part of the game. It doesn't outrage us. We don't have to accept, but we expect these people to do this stuff. And that's what the Bidens have done. So do you really want to go impeach a guy for doing something that most Americans believe that most presidents will do? Now, they won't believe, you can't convince people on the other side. Donald Trump's a billionaire. He comes to office. There was no reason for him to leverage his position in the government to make money from foreign entities. He was already wealthy. The Bidens, this guy's never had a job. Joe Biden's never had a job. He's just worked for the government his whole life. He's a public figure and has used that and his influence to make hundreds of millions of dollars in ways that should absolutely be illegal in this country. But unless the politicians who are getting rich decide to put some legislation together, some real protections that prevent any of this from happening while in office, it's never going to be any better. So we sort of expect this. We expect people want to get elected to high positions so they can leverage that into cash. And so that's what the Bidens have done. The problem here is it's international in nature. We don't like it. And is there safety and security of America? Is he a compromised president? I believe he's all those things. I don't think we're all going to die today of some nuclear war because Joe Biden made money from foreign entities. Yes, this involved China. Yes, it involved Ukraine. Yes, our policy is pathetic. The single worst thing, if you ask me, that Joe Biden has done is all of these dealings in Ukraine have skewed his policy toward what we're doing in Ukraine, and young men and women are dying at war because of it. Okay, it doesn't get any lower than that. You're getting richer and richer and richer, and you're sending more and more and more and more money to Ukraine, and more people are dying. It doesn't get any worse than that. It doesn't. I don't know what the definition of a war crime is. I don't know any of this stuff. But I there's no national interest for us in Ukraine. There's nothing there. This clearly is a place where Zelensky knows everything about Biden and what he's taken and the money that's flowed from Ukraine to the Biden family. He knows all that. Is he compromised? Of course. So here comes billions and billions and billions of dollars for Zelensky, and you're our buddy, and we'll talk everybody into D.C. into, you know, loving you and sending you all this money. Yes, this is all just a complete scam. But again, only 7% of the American people seem to care about this stuff. So we'll include ourselves as exceptions to that, that we're in the 7% because I do really care. I just don't think impeaching Biden is the right thing. I've heard that the DOJ has been completely inept in covering all of this or investigating all of this, and Merrick Garland maybe should be the target. I'm cool with that. There's not a person in America that would look at Merrick Garland just on appearance and see a sympathetic figure. Nobody will like him. He's not likable. He has no chance. Most Americans don't know him, and they'll say, oh, they're impeaching this guy. Boy, he must really be corrupt. You bring forth the facts, and you do something with Merrick Garland. You put a stain on the entire presidency, but you don't really ding Biden too badly. Do we really want to wound Biden so badly that they replace him? Again, I know this drives a lot of you crazy because you want a pound of flesh, and I do too. But what I want more than a pound of flesh is to win the election in 24. That's all I want. I just want it back for 4 more years. That's all I really want. We can do a lot of good things in 4 years. I just want it back in the worst possible way. And I think the best possible way to get it back is for Biden to actually be on the ballot. I think there's a million ways to beat Biden. A million. Seriously, there are so many things that would keep him from winning. You could have voters that just stay home, apathy, third candidate, fourth candidate. We don't know. We could wind up with Joe Manchin and RFK in this thing by the time it's all said and done. We've already got a third party candidate who's the, I don't think he's running as a Democrat, the professor, the guy with the wild hair. He's running. We just don't know what's out there, but clearly there is room for all kinds of people that would not vote for Donald Trump to vote for somebody other than Joe Biden. There's going to be all kinds of options for those people. And if they're just wacky enough that they're Trump deranged, they're not going to be smart enough to say, oh boy, I got to stick with Biden here, or Trump could wind up in there. That we give the electorate too much credit, folks, too much credit. There will be millions of people just looking to not vote for Trump or Biden. And if that's the case, we know this. We know what Trump's loyalty base is. It's massive. It is massive. And we also know if he's the only conservative on the ballot that even the rhinos will cross over or not cross over. Even the rhinos will stay loyal and vote for Trump. They will. Some won't, but most will. Almost all of them will. I don't know that they're calculating any of this. I feel like the Republicans are just playing politics with all this. And I know they're getting a lot of negative reaction and publicity from conservative voters because of that. I understand the frustration of conservatives, but I also think there might be something pretty smart about just letting this thing play out and let it be politics. Don't really try to go for the home run. Do we really want to sit through an impeachment of Joe Biden? And then don't you just look as, I mean, surely there's some voters that look at the Republicans and go, well, they're the serious people in the room. They're not the petty people that are going to impeach somebody over a phone call. And by the way, this would be over a phone call. It would be Hunter Biden's phone call while Joe Biden is sitting there, and they're leveraging policy or action by Joe Biden against the entities for not paying. But it would be about phone calls, essentially. So I'm just kind of caught in between on this, man. I know their game. What they do is everything that comes up, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, the Russian election, the election's a fraud. We heard that from Hillary, the Russian election interference, all that stuff. Now the Republicans are doing that. Everything they do in advance, they claim the Republicans have done, and then we see that they were actually doing it while they were accusing Republicans of it. And this is the same thing. Trump phone call to Ukraine, we're impeaching him. Why are they doing that? They were running interference for Joe Biden. They knew what they were doing. They knew how connected the Obama-Biden administration was to Ukraine and the money that they made there. So when out of office, they just started accusing Trump of this, thinking if this ever comes back on us, it's then white noise. People don't pay attention. Right now, Americans hear Ukraine and money and whatever. They're like, ah, that's been around for so many years. We're tired of hearing it. Tired of hearing it. That's the problem the Republicans have. You can't go impeach this guy because it's already been done. It's already been done. And people will look at it as duplicitous and tired and boring and old. And the Democrats, again, are really, really good at this. But they're caught. They make no mistake about it. The Bidens are caught. They're officially caught on this thing. Now, what happens next is anyone's guess. I think we all have probably different ideas of what's next. And I can't overstate this. All I want to do is win the next election. I really don't. I would love a pound of flesh. I'd love to see Biden in trouble. I'd like to see all that stuff, but not if it means Gavin Newsom's going to run. No, I'm sorry. I don't want another candidate. I'm not even saying Gavin Newsom's great or Kamala or whatever. I'm not. I just know what Biden is, and the American public don't like him. He is the second least popular president at this point in his presidency in the history of polling in this country. Like, this guy is not popular at all, and everybody knows it. 360 Document Solutions is popular in Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma, working with businesses, giving it the great customer service local touch that you deserve. He's a patriot. He's a conservative. He runs a great, honest business that can save you money and provide service for you when you need it. A lot of folks, when they have copiers or printers or voiceover solutions or phone services or whatever they have in the office, your machines in your office, they get it through a sales rep that comes in from a giant corporation that makes the machines. You know the names of these companies. The problem is there's no support system. There's nobody else working around us. They're just big, giant megacorps in faraway places. Then when something jams up or you've got a problem and your machines don't work right and they're all under warranty, you're calling somebody in India trying to get it resolved and they're going to try to hook you up, maybe find you somebody here locally that can come do this. No, that's not how it works at 360 Document Solutions. 360 stands by everything that they sell and lease. They would love to work with your company and show you a better way. It is absolutely about service. Folks, it's about service after the sale. They can save you money. They can get you out of your current leases, and they'd love to work with you. If you'd like a free consultation anywhere in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, just give them a call at 360documentsolutions.com. That's right, a phone call. How about a phone call to the owner, Mark? Yeah, 913-745-5344. That's 913-745-5344. 360documentsolutions.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs now has the Chevy Colorado and the GMC Canyon, the all-new models. These are all completely revamped, redone, remade, and renewed. Or maybe you're looking for a Blazer EV. Yeah, these are pretty sweet. RobertsRobinson.com can set you up with a lifetime warranty at no additional charge, the lowest price, low interest rates, and they'd love to have it built for you exactly to your specifications. They'll work all the way through the process with you and get you the exact GM vehicle you want. Chevrolet Buick GMC. RobertsRobinson.com is in Excelsior Springs, which is a wonderful community to visit. If you'd like to swing by their showroom and meet Tim Trader on the showroom floor or Mike Robinson, they'd love to say hello to you anytime you want to come by. Maybe get the oil changed or something on your ride while you're there, looking at a new Chevy, Buick, or GMC. It's in Excelsior Springs, or you can just call Tim on the phone and say, hey, can I do this remotely? I'm thinking about a new Chevy Silverado. Can you help me out? I want it to be black. I want black leather. I want the sunroof. I want the ZR2 package. They'll just have it built for you, man. 816-826-1563. Online at robertsrobinson.com. And my buddy TJ Vilkanskis at back9development.com. This is your custom builder. If you're looking to build, the building is booming. I don't know if anybody knows this or not. Home building is on fire. Nobody's buying and selling houses. The resale market's really slow, and the mortgage business is really slow. But building houses is on fire. and people are still doing it. It's happening in my neighborhood like crazy. We hear construction in here every day. More and more houses being built. I think we got about a dozen lots left in our subdivision. It should be full pretty darn soon because people are still building. If you want to build, if you want to build in my neighborhood, if you want to build in your neighborhood, if you have a piece of land, you really should meet with TJ and take a look at some of the great plans that he has and great possibilities for your custom home. TJ Vilkanskas at Pac 9 Development, 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161 for Pac9Development.com. So this is a sad story that immediately had the internet on fire when they heard that a black man drowned 100 feet from the property line of Barack and Michelle Obama at Martha's Vineyard. A few hours later, we learned this is the former chef at the White House and a friend of the Obamas who was visiting. His name is Tafari Campbell. And he was paddleboarding in an inlet area. They call it a pond, but it's an inlet area off the ocean. It's pretty calm water. It wasn't deep. He was 100 feet from the shoreline. It was only 8 feet deep. And he did not have a life vest on, which for the life of me, I cannot even fathom. Even if you're like a mega accomplished swimmer, I can't even fathom why you wouldn't do that. Because there's currents and there's different things that can obviously throw you off your game. But he was out there without a vest on. And he was paddleboarding with a friend who saw him fall and go off and briefly stay at the surface and then go under, and they never found him again until the authorities came and dived and went down in the water, and they found him a few hours later. Tafari Campbell had plenty of videos that he posted of himself swimming in swimming pools where he was showing, you know, his speeds and he learning how to backstroke and do all this other stuff. He was wearing fins. We call them fins, right? On your feet? Well, you can't wear fins while you're on the paddleboard. Apparently, this man, for much of his life, had told people that he can't swim. And he was trying to learn how to swim. And he was learning with fins and going to the pool and doing all this. Not a good swimmer. Look, I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not making fun of anybody that's not a good swimmer. I am not a good swimmer. I'm okay. You know, if I go in the lake near the boat, I'm jumping in. I got a vest on or a noodle or I'm hanging on to something. Because, you know, one gulp, okay, one misstep and one gulp of water and you start choking, you could just be done. So now I don't even get in the water like that. Any water, I'll get in the pool here because 3.5 feet deep. I don't wear a vest getting into the pool here. But I don't jump in a lake, jump in the ocean, do any of that without some sort of vest on. And I don't think that's even remotely, that's like wearing a seatbelt to me in a car. I don't think twice about it. There's no way. We go down to Lake Fort Scott. I'm not jumping to the lake without something. Maybe, yeah, I don't care. Raft, inner tube, jet vest, whatever. On the Sea-Doo, I got it. It's on. This is just so tragic to me that this happened. And apparently he had told people much of his life that he was not a good swimmer and was learning and trying, but he's out there on a paddleboard without a vest. And it just brings up all kinds of questions, doesn't it? It is the second time a chef from the White House has drowned. In 2015, Walter Scheib drowned hiking near Taos, New Mexico. He was Clinton and George W. Bush's chef for 11 years. Two presidents, 11 years. And he went hiking in New Mexico. And there was some rising water from rain runoff, snow melt runoff in the summer. And he got his feet or something caught in a rolling water and fell. And down he went. And they found his body and he drowned. It's just very strange. I'm not going to go all conspiracy theory on you, but that is an odd thing. Two White House chefs drowning in 8 years is a pretty weird deal. My takeaway from the Obama story, apparently they weren't there. Apparently they loved this man, and he was visiting. There's two things that I'm asking, two questions. We're going on the assumption here that these boards they were on were Obama's equipment. If he's staying there as a guest, which is what has been reported, that these are his equipment. The big question is, did he not have life jackets? Did the young man, were there life jackets there and the young man didn't use them? Or were there no life jackets? They just had boogie boards or paddle boards. That's a big thing. That is a big, big thing. I don't know that we'll ever know that. I'll say this. If there were no life vests, we'll never know that. They'll cover that up. That will never, ever, 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 ever get out. Ever. Under any circumstance. No how, no way. Mark my words. The bigger question here, and the maybe this is more fun question, is we saw all these aerial shots. This is a massive property, and he's got a lot of waterfront property. These inlets and those ponds, they called it a pond. It's massive. It's huge. It comes around the Cape, the point. It comes around, and it goes back in. I don't know how many feet or yards or miles of shoreline Barack Obama owns there, but it is a ton of beachfront property. He's also done this in Hawaii as beachfront property. I don't understand this. If Manhattan, which they're saying, I read a thing this week, by 2050, they believe Newark Airport in New Jersey is going to be underwater and part of lower Manhattan is going to be underwater. Oh, okay. Because why? Because the planet's heating up and the polar caps are melting. If this is the case, if Obama really believes that, why does he own this place in Martha's Vineyard, and why does he own beachfront in Hawaii? If the oceans are going to rise, he's the dumbest son of a gun on earth. He's stupid. He is absolutely stupid to invest that many millions of dollars on properties that are going to be underwater. How dumb is he? How dumb is Barack Obama? Have you ever heard anybody say Barack Obama's dumb? I've not heard that. Oh, he's a dummy. He makes bad decisions. That's not what I hear when I hear him talking about Obama. Boy, you got to be the dumbest son of a gun on the planet if you believe part of Manhattan and the Newark, New Jersey airport are going to be underwater in 25 years. If you believe that and you're buying property at Martha's Vineyard in Hawaii, you're really stupid. That's all I could think of when I'm looking at it. I mean, it comes right up to the edge, man. It's beautiful waterfront property. That sucker comes up another couple feet, he's got a huge problem. He's not on some cliff above the ocean. It's like walk out into the water property, eases its way down. Barack Obama. I am actually ready for somebody in that party to get some sort of control and get it away from the Obama people, because they are just destroying America at every turn. We're about a month away from the first GOP debate for president. Are you shocked to hear this? I couldn't believe it. Only six candidates right now are qualified out of, what, 13? Here's the crazy part. You only need 1% in polling and 40,000 donors to qualify. I mean, I the first thing I asked myself is, could I get 40,000 of you to donate a dollar to a campaign? Not to me. We'll put it into a charitable trust. I don't care where. You know, could I get 40,000 of you to donate a dollar? Is this possible? I'm thinking, this is a national deal. These people can't. And half the candidates don't have 40,000 donors and 1% of the vote. They should almost have a rule that you're out at this point. If you get to the first debate and you don't qualify with 40,000 donors or 1%, you should be out. And I wonder if anybody has not qualified for a first debate and ever gone on to be the nominee. That doesn't sound right. Look, I know Trump was polling at like 4% at this point in 2015. But there hadn't been a debate yet. He got on the debate stage and just mopped everybody up, and that was that. It was over. It was over in 5 minutes. You watch those clowns up there on stage all scared and frightened, and Rubio's up there sweating, and Jeb Bush can't even get a sentence out, and Trump's just owning the thing. You're like, this is over. I know who this nominee is going to be. It's over. These people are, this is a fraud that they're in it. Look, there's no reason for Trump really not to debate. He's got such a stranglehold on the thing. It is great entertainment. He probably will. I don't know if he will or not. But these other candidates have no chance. They should all just get out of the way. And just let's have two incumbents run against each other. These are two incumbents. Biden and Trump, let's go do it again. Let's see if America has remorse or not. Let's go do it. 40,000 donors is all, and 1% to qualify, and only six are in. I mentioned to you that 7% in a recent poll are concerned about people in power abusing the power, as the Bidens do. Only 7%. The number one issue is economic issues, and that's 51% of people say that's their main issue. And I just think that's staggeringly low. That seems really low to me. 51% of America. And the polling, the people who did the poll in the story I read are like, whoa, this is a big number. Biden's in real trouble. I'm like, that's it? 51%? I'm always shocked by this. I just am. But there's that many people that, I don't know, racism, LGBTQ drag shows, abortion, race, skin color. There's all these different things that I guess people, if you lived in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, maybe the border is your number one issue. If you're a military family, maybe international affairs is the bigger problem. And most of those polls somewhere in the 5-8% area. And so that's what eats up the other 49%. I can see, I guess, some places for some people where something would be more important than the economic issues. But I guess I don't get it. If this president is just sitting here running prices up and mortgage rates up and interest rates up and just stifling the economy, if he can, to keep inflation down, how can that not be a bigger problem to more people? Are we paying that much money out to that many people? So the first thing I ask when I see 49% of the people don't list economic issues as their number one goal, does that mean they're happy with their 9% increase in their Social Security check? Because that's what it went up. Social Security check went up 9%. So people get that 9% raise and they just say, okay, I'm not worried. Is that what they do? I don't know. I'm asking the question. Hey, I got my government checks for this. I got my government check for that. My student loan forgiveness is going to, the government's going to take care of me. Is that who these people are? They're like, oh, the Democrats are going to take care of me. They just keep sending me money. They got to get programs. I got it coming back to me. It's all going to be good. So they don't worry about economic issues. Maybe that's what it is. AMC Theaters thinks about economic issues. Boy, it's a great time for the movie industry. Oppenheimer and Barbie are crushing it, as is The Sound of Freedom and Mission Impossible. These movies are going great. The people are back to the movies in a giant way. AMC Theaters, based right here in Kansas City, had previously announced, basically, they don't call it dynamic pricing, but it's what it is. If you want to sit in the middle of the theater in the prime seats, they were charging a dollar more. They were testing this in several markets. We went and saw Mission Impossible a couple of weeks ago, and it was $44 for the two of us. They add fees, you get online, you use the app, you do all this. I don't even know if you can walk up and buy a ticket anymore, can you? You have to get it on your phone before you get there. It's crazy. So it was $44. We went to the IMAX theater at AMC. So that's more expensive. I understand, appreciate all that. We made that choice. We could have gone to a different theater and spent less. We made that choice. But AMC has dropped this. They did this for a couple of months, and they thought other movie chains, theater chains, would do it along with them because they're all kind of struggling to make money here. And nobody else went along with them. And so AMC has dropped it. And my question is, why not? Sporting events do it. Concerts do it. If you go on ticketsforless.com right now and you're looking for tickets to the Billy Joel concert at Arrowhead, depending on where you sit, the prices are going to be dramatically different. Why wouldn't they be at a movie theater? It's a dollar. It's a dollar more to sit in the middle. They know where the true movie buffs know exactly where they want to sit for the best experience. For me, I want to be on the aisle. That's not the best experience. It's off to the side a little bit. There's some lights there on the steps. I get that. I just don't want to be surrounded by people. I want to be toward the edge where I can get out and get some air, man. I don't want a stranger on one side of me. I'm not interested. So everybody's different, but why doesn't this work for the movies? This has to work for the movies. They need to try to keep doing this. And AMC just folded. They just dropped it. And I'm not sure I understand why. The movie Oppenheimer is doing great at the box office. I want to see this one badly. It's about the making of the atom bomb that won World War II. And historians have gone and seen it and said there is a scene from 1945 in an auditorium where Oppenheimer walks in apparently after the war, and they're cheering him and he's waving and, you know, he's like a hero, and they're waving American flags. And historians have noted that there are 50 stars on those flags. But in 1945, there were only 48 stars on the flags. So apparently, I haven't seen the movie. This scene is in full color. There's some flashing back and white, color, black and white, back and forth between black and white and color in the movie, apparently. Apparently, when they're retelling something through Oppenheimer's eyes, it's in color. But when it's current time or something, it's black and white. I don't know. There's a black and white scene from the 40s with 48 stars where you see the flag and it's the 48 star flag. But there's a color scene where it's 50. And so they're saying this was creative license by the director to say this was Oppenheimer remembering back or flashing back or storytelling or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. But historians do not like the 50-star flag in a 1945 scene. Wow. Hey, we're so happy to be affiliated with Brad and his team at the New Car Image. These folks would love the opportunity to bring your car back to life. I know most of you take good care of your car, but getting it just completely beautifully detailed is a wonderful thing. It feels so good. It's such a nice service. Give them a call. You have this week left to sign up for the full interior. If you do the full interior detail, they will do the ceramic coat on the outside of your car absolutely free, and you will watch the water bead off your car like you've never seen before. It will be showroom new. It puts a pop in this baby. You're going to love it. This is also a wonderful gift for your spouse or a friend or a birthday gift. It's thenewcarimage.com. That's the website, thenewcarimage.com. 816-499-1470. 816-499-1470. Brad has done this for my car and for Jessica's car over the last couple of years. And it's crazy. When you get it done, you just want to leave it in the garage. You're like, I don't want to drive this for a few days. And then I will go at least 2 weeks without letting my dog in the car. Like, we're using your car for a while. It is better than new. The detail service is phenomenal. 816-499-1470, thenewcarimage.com. Earth Effects Outdoor Living is your new landscaper. Online at eeoutdoor.com. Kitchens, fire pits, hardscapes, lighting, or small projects like planting a tree for you or doing some mulch beds. 816-478-7700, eeoutdoor.com. Finch Knife Company is online at finchknifeco.com. I need to call the people up. We went to that shooting demonstration of the Safe Haven Defense thing up at Frontier Justice. They've got a big, giant knife counter display up there. We got to get Finch pocket knives up at Frontier Justice. We got to make this happen. We got to meet with these folks. Ask for it by name. When you go somewhere, ask for the Finch pocket knives by name. They're still a young company trying to get in more and more places as they can. I love helping these guys out. You've done a wonderful job for them. So many of you have purchased Finch pocket knives and you're so happy with them. Many of you have purchased numerous Finch knives as you're starting to collect them and keep them in cases. FinchKnifeCo.com is the easiest way to do it right there online. You can see them at Shields, The Bullet Hole, Antique Tractor, and Farm. But they're not in some of these other places yet. We need to work on that. So if you go someplace that has sporting goods and whatnot and they don't have the Finch knives, say, hey, why don't you carry Finch pocket knives? It's worth asking. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. The doorbuster this week at bstock.net is a 50-inch LED LCD LG TV 4K, $259. Yeah, perfect size smart TV for a dorm room if you're heading off to college. The flash sale is up at the website. Anyone can find this deal by heading over to the website homepage. That is bstock.net, $259 for a 50-inch 4K LG TV. That is insane. All the Samsung TU-7000s are marked down low like crazy right now. 75-inch, $529, 70-inch, $429. And don't forget to Google or Facebook review bstock.net in July. If you do, you can come in and spin the prize wheel. There's a winner every time. You'll win absolutely free for leaving a review for our friends at bstock.net. Discount Alley has scratch and dent, and they've got another great red tag item up right now at the KK list. If you want to check that out, the red tag item is an auction item every single week that starts at $9.99. It is, I think it's a MacBook Pro again this week, $9.99. Go to thekklist.com, click on red tag auction, and make a bid if you'd like to win that from bstock.net. Love those guys. All right, on to sports, and this is sort of auxiliary sports. There was a bomb threat at KU on Monday night. The KU football offices. The KU football complex had a bomb threat. I have no idea what this is about. Authorities haven't said. They're not sure why or who or anything at this point. They evacuated the facilities. and very quickly realized there was no bomb there and let everybody back in. They said there's no real threat, so it was a hoax. But my God, what is that? Exactly. And it seems so random. They're not in school. The students aren't there. The whole thing just seems really weird that there would be a bomb scare at the KU football facilities on a Monday night in July. That seems very odd and random, but it happened. It happened on the same day that KU announced that they're going to play North Carolina in basketball in 24 and 25. They'll play at Allen Fieldhouse first, the Dean Dome second, and that is a great series. That is the way to do non-conference basketball. KU and North Carolina in 24 and 25. That is pretty cool. Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones set the internet on fire yesterday when he tweeted out, "Wakey, wakey." Not sure I know what that means. Could have been Monday morning, just waking up. Maybe you should wake up and start your week. Or maybe it is, "Chiefs, you should wake up and get me signed." Nobody knows, but Chiefs fans took this mostly as a positive and thought, okay, well, Chris Jones, something good's about to happen. They're all about to wake up, and Chris Jones is going to get a new deal, and he's going to wind up in camp. I think this is going to get done. If it doesn't, I think Chris Jones will come play his last year. It may be his last year in Kansas City, but I think he'll come play. I don't think he's any threat to not play. The bigger threat to not play is Kadarius Toney, who cannot stay healthy. We've talked about this the entire offseason. Kadarius Toney can absolutely be a superstar in Kansas City in this offense with Patrick Mahomes if he can stay on the field. And he's what I call a tweaker. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to break his leg and be out for the year or something. He just tweaks stuff all the time. Tweaked a hammy, tweaked a shoulder, tweak. So this one, are you ready for this? He's getting ready to catch a punt Sunday. Harmless, non-contact, nothing. Just going to catch a punt, and he tweaks his knee. Now, this is the knee they treated in the offseason and has been a trouble spot for him, and now he's out. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not counting on Kadarius Toney at all. Zero. I'm counting on Chris Jones to be there and be productive. I'm different than everybody else right now. Everybody else is like, oh, Chris Jones, what? No, he'll be there. Chris Jones will play. Kadarius Toney will not. And if he does, prove me wrong, Kadarius Toney. Just prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. I want to see the kid play. I think he's got a chance to be an absolute stud and a star. I've never seen anybody get tweaked more than this guy and be out. And why would you think if he's tweaking a knee in July that this is not going to be a problem in November or December or January, that it'll be okay by then? I don't think he's the guy that's like, oh, I don't like training camp. I want to sit out here for a few days. Chiefs say they think he'll be okay for the opener, the season opener. If not, shortly after that. Ugh. Good Lord, Kadarius Toney. Clark Hunt, the owner, was asked by Pro Football Talk if he's ever talked to Andy Reid about retirement. And Clark said, nope. And he doesn't think it's anytime soon. He shows no signs of slowing down. And there would be no reason to believe anytime soon that Andy Reid is considering retiring. Well, hell no. He's got Patrick Mahomes now. You know what a special category in if you win one more? If you win three of these things, what a special category that is for a coach and a quarterback. Woo, I think he knows it. I think Andy's probably got at least five pretty good years. Health can be an issue. But as far as the drive, the desire, and all that stuff, a lot of these football guys are just different birds, man. That's all I can tell you. That this is truly what they love, that this is their vacation, that they love being at the facility and coaching and being that they love that more than being on vacation or playing golf or retiring or any of that this is what they love. And I think Andy Reid fits in that category. I think it's going to be a while. All right, let's do this triple header. I've got three scams. We talked about the Bidens at the beginning being scammers. I got three scams you need to know about. People in the world will, it is unbelievable how dishonest and scam worthy so many people are. So we're going to go in. I'm going to start with the worst one. This is as bad as it gets. I'm sorry. And the Kansas City Star is reporting on this saying, well, it looks bad, but it maybe is not as bad as you think. No, this is as bad as you think. There are three professors at the University of Kansas that claim to be Native American that are not Native American, not even like 0.1%. Kent Blancett is the first one that we'll talk about. Kent Blancett was hired to be a professor at the University of Kansas in 2020 through something called the Hughes Professorship, which is a minority hiring program. Let me give you his name again. It's Kent Blancett. He's a white guy. He wears glasses, looks to be in his late 50s or 60s, and he got a job as a professor at KU in 2020 through a minority hiring program because he told them he was part Native American. That's awful. You should be terminated immediately. But the Star writes a story and says, well, he's done all this great thing. There's no question his dedication to Native Americans and the money he's raised and the organizations he's been part of and the good that he's done with Native American studies and all this other stuff. No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are only as good as your worst thing. The Democrats, the people on the left and the media have told us this forever. You say one N-word, it doesn't matter if you've given $1 billion to charity. You say the N-word one time, you are freaking canceled. You are out. You're gone. You're done. So why is the Star different on these? What more heinous thing could you do than lie that you're Native American? There are three professors caught. That so far caught at KU, and I'll explain in a moment how they're getting caught. There are three of them that are caught, and the Star's defending them because they've done good things in their life? No, they're doing that because they're liberal professors. And I'm not going to sit here and argue that Kent Blancett doesn't want to help Native Americans. I think he probably does. My God, if you want to help them, don't lie that you are one, you freak. This is criminal. This is awful. The only reason you do it is for money, a position, a job, money. That's it. You do it for your own benefit. It's stolen valor. So at Haskell Indian Nations University, there's a professor there that teaches a class, and he has come up with a new term. It's called pretendianism, which I like because Indian's in the middle of the word. Pretendianism, and that's people who fake being Native American. He has identified 200 people so far, and he is not stopping. He says they're everywhere, and he doesn't really care what good you've done for Native Americans, that you can't do anything worse than this. It'd be like donating to the military or to Folds of Honor or something and walking around and telling people that you served in Vietnam. It's the same thing. You don't do it. You don't do it. The Star's trying to defend these three guys. There's three of them. Let me tell you this. If there's three of them at KU, there's probably 20 or more of them in the entire state. Manhattan, Wichita, Emporia. Let's go. Let's find them. Because why? Because we have a society that rewards minorities. And so now white people are scamming on this, saying, I can go get hired through this. I've got the credentials. I just have to tell them I'm part Native American and I get this big fat professorship at the University of Kansas and live the good life. And that's what he did. And he's a freaking liar and he should be fired. He should be fired. This is not even up for debate. You stole a position from somebody who did an endowment and left money specifically to hire minorities. This is not a government initiative. This is an endowment. This is private money that people put together and said, like, I'm okay with this. I don't think the government should be involved in having jobs saying, well, you only can hire minorities. No, but if your thing is you've got millions of dollars and you want to leave an endowment to hire professors strictly because they're Native American, I'm okay with that. But you can't have Kent Blancett come in and take the job. Oh my God, how is he not fired? How are these three guys not fired? Here's another scam. Canadian Tour golfer Justin Doden. I've never heard of this. This is the worst golf cheating I've ever heard. Canadian Tour golfer Justin Doden, who played collegiately at the University of Minnesota, was playing last week in Canada where he hit the ball in the water on 18. It's Friday. It's round two. He's three under. The cut line is minus two. He hit the ball in the water on 18, took his drop, went ahead and played it out, made a seven. But then at some point between the 18th green and the scorer's tent, he erased the seven and wrote down five to make the cut. His playing partners go, no, he had a seven, not a five. What was this guy thinking? It's not, hey, the ball moved and I didn't tell somebody, which is a weird rule in golf anyway. There was nothing. Oh, it was touching the little red line and I had my foot in there. Not that. No, that's not what it was. This was, I erased my scorecard and changed the score to make the cut line. He's caught. He says, I pray for your forgiveness. This is the biggest mistake of my life. I don't know what I was thinking. There's going to be more to this story. There's going to be more to the story with this guy. Like, he's got some other issue, I promise. There's something going on here. Either personal or addiction, or there's something going on with this guy. I have never heard of a golfer do something that stupid in my life in a tournament. Impossible. He's a professional golfer, for crying out loud. And literally erased the 7 and turned it into a 5 and turned it in. And the guys he was playing with, they add your card up. You have to give it to them. They have to sign your scorecard. The people in your group that you play with have to sign your scorecard. And they're like, yeah, Justin, here's a problem. Remember the ball you hit in the water on 18? You have a 5 written down here? Yeah, it's not a 5. That's never heard of it. Rodney Thomas II is a safety for the Indianapolis Colts. His dad is Rodney Thomas. And Rodney Thomas, the dad, lives in Pennsylvania. And in May, he allegedly shot and killed a bald eagle with an air rifle. I didn't know that was possible. He shot and killed a bald eagle near a dam. They found the eagle dead on the ground. He didn't do anything with it. So either he was goofing around or didn't think he could really hurt the bird or whatever. He wasn't trying to harvest it or anything like that. He left it there. He probably felt terrible, probably. And they didn't have any suspects. So for a while, he laid low and then realized maybe he was a suspect because there were some security cameras probably that showed him in the area. So he turned himself in. The bald eagle became our national bird in 1782. And killing a bald eagle comes with a 1 year and $5,000 fine if convicted. Now, I'd probably be in favor of a much bigger fine and a much lower amount of time in jail. I would think 10 days in jail would maybe be enough for this crime. And maybe a $20,000 fine. You don't mess with bald eagles. Everybody knows that. Here's the question I have. Do we even teach that in school anymore? Do our kids even know that? That we're to honor the bald eagle? Do our kids know this growing up? I don't know. I knew it growing up. I was taught it in school, very young age. I was taught that. Pretty interesting story there. We'll see what happens because he's clearly going to plead this thing out some way probably and just pay a fine. Our final is brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. J.D. Power and Associates Customer Satisfaction Award once again, online at windowskansascity.com. Don't forget our promotion, $40,000 with windows, siding, and doors on any house that you want to rehab. It is up for auction right now, and the leading bid is just $20,000. That's half price on a big project. You can do this on your personal home. You can do it on your office. You can do it for a rental home. Anywhere in Kansas or Missouri, 85 counties. If you'd like to see what you can get and what the current bid is, go to windowskansascity.com. Ticketsforless.com. No fees ever. I'm buying my Eric Church tickets, I think, today. It was on my list of things to do. Going to go see Eric Church in September. No fees added. I will, of course, use the promo code KKHI and save between 5 and 15%. You can also call 913-685-3322. Ticketsforless.com. And tomorrow I'm having lunch with my buddy Ron Buck over at Buck Roofing. I've been dying for a Rosedale barbecue brisket sandwich, the beef deluxe. I've been dying for it for months. Thought I was going to have barbecue last week with Chris from Beestock. Went to lunch with him. And the barbecue restaurant we were going to was closed on Mondays. So this is going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to lunch with Ron, and I can't wait to talk to him about so many of you. Hopefully you didn't call because you had tree damage from that big storm a week ago Friday. But if you did, it was good to have Ron's phone number ready to go and get him out there as quickly as possible. He's been a busy guy with a lot of those high winds and storms and tree damage we've had. It's Buck Roofing, 384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Our final is Donna Hansbrough. That's not Tyler Hansbrough's mom. Donna Hansbrough was on the podcast Monday. Remember we told you that she is 68 years old. She works at a Lowe's in Georgia. And three dudes with a buggy full of stuff valued over $2,000 were walking right out with it without paying for it. And she went and grabbed the buggy. And they knocked her to the ground and gave her a black eye, and they took off with their stuff. And Lowe's fired her for trying to stop this. Lowe's has offered her her job back, and she has accepted. She's going back to work at Lowe's. And if I lived in that town, I would go find Donna and shake her hand. And thank her. I might even give her a little gift card. Say, here you go. Go get some ice cream or something. You know, a cherry limeade. You're a rock star as far as I'm concerned, Donna. Good work. She didn't try to beat the guys up. She went and grabbed the cart and said, hey, guys, don't steal this stuff. Come on. Don't do this. And they punched her and knocked her to the ground and took the stuff. I know what Lowe's policy is. I know what a lot of these companies' policy is. I don't think it should be the policy. It should be totally voluntary. It shouldn't be in your job description if you're Donna Hansborough that you have to rush to the door and stop people. But if you've got an employee that wants to try, let them. They're really not doing it for Lowe's. I'm just being honest. I don't think these companies know that. They're not really doing it for you. They're doing it for them because they see bad in the world and they're good people and they want to try to do the right thing. Most people want to try to do the right thing. And that's what Donna Hansborough did. And she took her job back at Lowe's. Good for her. That's KKHI for this Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have a patron podcast later on Tuesday. If you'd like to join the patrons, man, we'd love to have you. You can always use more patrons. I'm always looking to add more because I want more people to hear the content that we have and the newsletter that I send out every weekend. We would love for you to join the patrons. So try it out. Football season's coming up. There's going to be a lot of bonus football content on there. KKHIsIssues.com. Click on Become a Patron. It's very, very simple. The episodes come right into your inbox, and I think you'll enjoy it. KKHIsIssues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.